Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First to Israel and Lebanon, where there are mounting fears of an escalation in fighting along the Israel-Lebanon border after a rocket from Lebanon killed at least 12 people, most of them children, on a soccer field in the Israel-controlled town of Golan Heights on Saturday. Global leaders are now scrambling to contain political fallout from the attack, and Alex Crawford, Sky News foreign correspondent, joins me on the line now from Beirut. Alex, you interviewed Hezbollah supporters who gathered in Beirut on Sunday. What did they tell you? Are they preparing for a more intense conflict now?
Definitely there is an air of defiance, as well as the country being on tenterhooks. There's a very definite air of defiance from Hezbollah loyalists and supporters. I was in one of the main strongholds, Hezbollah strongholds in Beirut, and they were mourning the deaths of two Hezbollah fighters who'd been killed earlier on in the day, just before the football pitch massacre in the Golan Heights. And they said, amongst many things, one, that they did not believe that Hezbollah had fired that rocket. They wholeheartedly believe the Hezbollah denial that it was their responsibility. And secondly, that they were prepared for war. In many cases, they said they welcomed it. They felt this was, they saw it, a ruse by Israel to draw Hezbollah into a wider conflict, which would then spill over into the region. So not a very optimistic mood music from the Hezbollah loyalists, to be honest.
And amid that blame game, where Israel blamed Hezbollah, the Iranian-backed Lebanese group, but Hezbollah denied it is responsible, you interviewed Lebanon's foreign minister. What did he call for? What is he warning against?
He was speaking on behalf of the Lebanese authorities, who are the government here in Lebanon, but they have Hezbollah partners. And he is very much the intermediary between Hezbollah, the Americans, the UN, if you like. And he delivered, first of all, a very strong message calling for an independent investigation. He said it was very unusual in his experience that Hezbollah would target civilians. They specifically, according to him, focus very much on military targets, military infrastructure, caches of weapons, and so on. And this was out of kilter to everything that Hezbollah had done. But he said he wasn't making any assumption as to who was responsible. He wanted an independent investigation, primarily he wanted to see it led by the UN. But he also said a very strong message to Israel's allies, America, who have backed Israel's assertion that this was a rocket fired by Hezbollah. And he said in very frank terms, do not give Israel a license to kill in Lebanon, because as he described it, you will not just be hitting Hezbollah, you will be hitting the Lebanese, and the Lebanese are with Hezbollah if they are going to be attacked by an outside country, primarily Israel. So really tough message from the Lebanese authorities here.
In all of that, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu returned early from the United States. He met with senior ministers, security officials yesterday. What kind of pressure is he coming under from far-right coalition allies? Are we going to see a lot tougher talk, you know, about retaliation? And what options do we think Netanyahu might be looking at today?
Well, certainly the rhetoric from the Israeli side has been increasingly bombastic, increasingly chilling, with a number of members of his cabinet demanding that the whole of Lebanon is hit, that Hezbollah is wiped out. There's a lot of pressure from Israeli citizens who live along the border to return to their homes. About 60,000 have had to flee their homes because of the cross-border attacks between Israel and Lebanon since October the 8th, when Hezbollah first mounted the attacks, they said, in support of what was happening in Gaza, in support of the Palestinians. But another 90,000, 100,000 or so residents in Lebanon have also had to flee their homes along the border. And Israel has mounted four times as many attacks as Hezbollah has in return. So there is clearly a need for some security measures going through if there's going to be any sort of peace going forward. And the diplomatic airwaves are absolutely thick, but you know, behind the scenes between all the parties concerned to try and urge maximum restraint. The UN coordinator for Lebanon and the UN peacekeeping force issued a very, very strong statement warning that if there isn't restraint on all parties, that this, in their words, could engulf the region in a catastrophe beyond belief. So there are lots of behind the scenes maneuverings, negotiations, cajoling to try to persuade Israel to act with restraint and also to persuade and talk to Hezbollah not to react even more violently should Israel mount some sort of attack inside Lebanon. Just to mention that there have been flights cancelled today. There are still not a huge number, but a significant number, more than 20 or so have been cancelled coming into Lebanon. And a range of embassies, including the Irish embassy, America and Canada, renewing their advice to their citizens to avoid travel to Lebanon or to consider leaving the area.
And amid all of those calls for maximum restraint, what of the potential for diplomatic resolution? Like, we hear constantly about this never implemented United Nations resolution from 2006 that would create this demilitarized zone in southern Lebanon. Do we think there's any appetite channels that might renew those efforts?
I think there's been a lot of backroom talk about just that. And this is not only a really dangerous juncture, probably the most dangerous juncture in the nearly 10 months of conflict, that's the most recent conflict involving Gaza and Lebanon and Israel. But it's also being seen by many of the diplomats as an opportunity as well to try to finally come up with some sort of long-lasting resolution. Everyone talks about the UN Resolution 1701, which would involve Hezbollah retreating beyond the Litani River, which is about 10, 15 kilometers away from the border, and creating a non-militant, non-combatant zone, which would give both sides some sort of security. But the Lebanese authorities have been telling me, the Lebanon foreign minister very specifically, that as far as they're concerned, they want Israel to withdraw from all areas that they consider Lebanon. And that is the basis that they're putting down as their basis for talks and for peace talks going forward.
Okay, Alex Crawford, Sky News foreign correspondent. We will be watching all developments there. I'm joined now by Professor Ray Murphy, Irish Centre for Human Rights at University of Galway. Ray, your own reaction to what Alex is calling this most dangerous junction in the 10 months.
Yeah, good morning, Anya. Yes, I agree with her. This is a very serious situation that has been escalating slowly. And both sides have been carefully calibrating their use of force. But at this stage, I think that it has escalated to a level that's almost impossible to control. I don't believe that Hezbollah deliberately targeted the playground or the football pitch on the Golan Heights. I think it's very plausible that it's a missile or a projectile that was fired by one of the armed groups that was intended to go into northern Israel. To some extent, what's happened has been inevitable. When you've got armed groups and then you've got the state of Israel engaged in a tit-for-tat war over many months, it's inevitable that something will happen that was not necessarily intended. And I think that has occurred, and now it's been used as an excuse to possibly escalate the situation. I mean, I heard Alex there, and you mentioned the UN Resolution 1701, which was adopted around 2006 when there was the last major outbreak of hostilities between Hezbollah and Israel. And it gave a particular role for the UN mission on the ground, which actually has a very significant Irish contingent part of it. But the idea of demilitarizing, disarming, and actually moving Hezbollah back beyond the so-called the Litani River, I don't think that that's a credible proposal. At the time when that was adopted by the UN Security Council, I was critical of it because, and many other commentators were critical, because essentially Israel is calling upon the UN and the UN force in Lebanon to do what Israel is unable to do and was unable to do in the past. And it's only going to bring the UN into direct confrontation with Hezbollah, which is something which is not in anybody's interest.
And Ree, you mentioned the Irish presence on the ground. We don't have anyone serving in the Golan Heights region at present, but the Defence Forces has 332 Irish peacekeepers currently serving with a battalion in the United Nations Interregnum Force in Lebanon. Is there any argument there for bolstering those numbers now?
Well, actually, the Irish forces were bolstered, to my knowledge, over the last 12 to 18 months. It certainly was a proposal that was made. But to be honest, in terms of the current conflict and the current threat, increasing the numbers isn't actually going to resolve this. You know, you have a situation on the ground. For the UN to be able to operate, it needs all the parties, especially Hezbollah and the armed groups, the Lebanese government and the Israelis, to cooperate to a certain extent. The UN can't, through sheer weight of numbers or through armaments, essentially enforce its role. It's a peacekeeping force. Now, there are measures, of course, in place. There's, you know, there are quick reaction teams. If there's an immediate threat to any of the UN forces, in particular the Irish contingent, which is part of a Polish battalion. And, you know, the Irish soldiers are very well trained. They're very well accustomed to this type of situation. They're well led. But the immediate threat is from shelling and rocket fire. And we've only seen this weekend how rockets can go astray. So that is a serious immediate threat. And I think I don't think it's especially helpful. And it's, to some extent, it's taking the Israeli narrative on this to say that the UN needs to enforce its resolution 1701 or bring in a further a stronger resolution. That isn't going to solve this particular problem.
Finally and briefly, Ray Murphy, you heard Alex talk there about the scramble for diplomacy in the background. Given how we're 100 days out in the United States and we know they're an important broker in all of this, do you think there is potential for resolution here, or is there just going to be distraction from the United States side from the next 100 days?
The United States has a critical role to play in the Middle East, whether we like that or not. It's especially important in that it acts as a restraint on Israel. How Israel responds to this particular atrocity will determine how Hezbollah responds in turn. And therefore, the United States has a key role. The Biden administration has already used leverage, for example, to prevent Israel responding in very strong terms against the Iranian attack that took place some months ago. And, you know, the role of the United States is going to be really important in the future, and we have a potential, you know, new president in coming into the White House. If you recall, the Golan Heights is Syrian territory. It is recognized as being occupied Syrian territory seized by Israel back in 1967. But during the presidency of Trump, it was the United States officially recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. That was a major retrograde step, completely inconsistent with all other states, the international law, and particularly the European Union. And so, therefore, all these factors are linked. So I hope in the next 100 days, the current administration will be able to act as a restraint on, put pressure on Israel, not to retaliate strongly, and thereby avoid this situation escalating completely beyond anybody's control and engulfing the whole region, including Iran, Yemen, in a major regional conflict.
Okay, there we leave it. Professor Ray Murphy, Irish Centre for Human Rights at University Galway, will be back after these.
Text 51551, today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.